Well, I think as we all know, this is now the Advent season, and I think it's important to make the distinction, even though as Baptists we don't adhere quite as strongly to the liturgical calendar in the same way as some of our sister traditions do, but there's an importance in remembering that Advent is a bit different. If you've got calendars, or if you make the notation in a few weeks as we come upon December 25th, you may see the older term Christmastide, which means that specifically when we come to the date of Christmas and those dates surrounding it, we are celebrating in very specific ways the birth of our Savior. But the thing about Advent, I think that's so important for us to remember, and what it really calls us to do, is to have and even further develop a sense of, a spirit of expectation. And to know that in that expectation, we remember all it is that God promises to do and be in the world and in our lives. So in this Advent season, our sense of expectation should really be heightened. And as we hear the passages that are a part of the Advent season, these readings that come from the lectionary that remind us of that hope and that promise, hopefully it will also lend its ability for us to have a sense of the impending presence of God, but also knowing that God is yet here, but God's promise to be with us in a fullest measure as we know that to be in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, in the continuation of the Advent season and those expectations, we're going to read Zechariah's song. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist, and many of you most likely know that John the Baptist and Jesus were born, they were cousins, and they were born virtually close to at the same time. So what we read here as we hear Zechariah's song is a word of promise and expectation that we would do well to listen to. Hear ye the word of the Lord from Luke, the first chapter, beginning at the 68th verse. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Shall we join our hearts in prayer? Lord, we ask that as we hear this word, we are reminded of the hope and promise, not only that resided in Zechariah's heart, but that we indeed lay claim to even on this day. that it is your righteousness, your mercy, your saving grace, your peace that will abide with us always. In the name of the one who has come to vanquish our foes and to raise up our love toward you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage, this song of Zechariah, again, John the Baptist's father, that Zechariah, if you will, sang prior to upon the birth of his son, John, is often called Benedictus. And that Latin just means really to wish one well. That's why at the close of a worship service, when we pronounce the benediction, it really means the well wishes of God's people going forward into the world. So this word, if you will, that Zechariah is sharing, this Benedictus, this good wish, if you will, this good word, not only for his son John, but indeed for all of those who would hear it, for all of whom it would be declared, should remind us of those, again, good things that we hope for and expect in this Advent season. Now, to help understand that, let's understand a little bit more about Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife, John's mother, so it gives us a fuller context. First of all, the fact that they were promised the gift of a child when it was promised to them was miraculous in its own right, because they, not unlike Abraham and Sarah, were well into their majority of years. So the idea that at this point that Zechariah and Elizabeth would have a child was indeed a profound measure of God's blessing. But not only was it a blessing that they would be given this gift of bearing a child in the fullest measure of their years, but we now know, as Zechariah declares, as God made it clear to him, that indeed this child would have a very particular and profound purpose in the world. And that would be to be the forebearer, the prophet announcing, "Behold, the Lamb of God. So as Zechariah understands what's about to unfold, he not only understands it because of the joy of impending parenthood, but he understands it because of several things that I think are so important. And if we hear this good word from Zechariah this morning and apply it to our hearts, and if these three things, I think, kind of come together for us, it will help us to truly as well have that measure of Advent joy, that sense of hopefulness that I think God calls upon us to have. The first thing that Zechariah does. Now, by the way, Zechariah was an attendant in the temple on a regular basis, so he was no stranger to those things that represented the presence of and the promises of God. So Zechariah, who knew his Torah, he knew the scriptures, he knew the presence of God in the midst of God's people, but now he had the privilege of not only knowing it himself, but reminding everyone else that this God is a God of covenant promises. Not only the covenant that comes from the throne of David that he mentions, but also even further back than that, the covenant promise that comes from Abraham. If you will, the first of the major covenantal promises that God makes. So Zechariah is, before anything else, reminding everybody who hears this song of well wishes, this good word, that God has and continues to keep his promises. Now, like we said the other week, sometimes context is everything. And it's so helpful to be reminded of the goodness and the fullness and the certainty of God's promises when it looks a little bleak surrounding us. And once again, these were not perfect or good times for Israel. We know that at the time that this canticle, this song, this Benedictus, this good wishes, these good words were lifted up, Israel sat under the heel of Roman authority and oppression. So for Zechariah to be able to say that God is a God of promise, that God keeps God's promises, was not only a declaration of the truth, but also an important reminder for maybe some people who, like all of us, on occasion when things get rough, are prone to forget how certain and sure and faithful God is in our lives. I'm not a fashion expert, but people tell me that oftentimes you can do a couple of things whether it's about dressing yourself or painting a picture, whatever. Sometimes you may decide to use colors that are closely related and quite similar, and there's a measure of harmony that comes from that. But sometimes, if you want to make another kind of statement, you use colors that contrast, that stand almost in opposite position on the color wheel. And it's an interesting thing about that, because those colors that contrast, that stand in opposite places, oftentimes what they do is they accentuate one another. And sometimes when that contrast unfolds, it really makes a statement to us. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that sometimes when we find ourselves with a surrounding that may seem to be somewhat bleak, that may seem to be somewhat overwhelming, that the contrast of the brightness and the certainty and the surety of God's promise sometimes in that moment is particularly profound. So we need to understand that when Zechariah is talking to those who are hearing him about the promises of God's faithfulness, even though it may be an impending and gloomy moment around them at that moment, the one thing that he can say without any prevarication is that God's promises are certain and sure. And all I would ask of us is every once in a while we sit down and we take a moment and we engage in that intellectual / spiritual exercise. I call it intellectual and spiritual because on an intellectual side, you've got to go ahead and think about all of those moments, all of those times, all of those episodes, all of those circumstances in which you know indeed that God has been present and God has been good. But then at the same time, I want you to pay attention to the spiritual dimension of that, because while you're thinking about them, while you're kind of lining them up and quantifying them and checking off the box, but then I want you to go ahead and even in that moment, allow God to allow for you to praise and thank God yet once again for all of the goodness and all of the mercies and all of the love that God has shown you throughout all of your days. So that's where Zechariah starts, reminding Israel, reminding everyone that God is a God of covenant, God is a God of promise, God is a God of faithfulness to God's people. But then he goes on, and he reminds us, just as Mary says in her wonderful song, that he is our Savior, that he is our Savior. And if there's anything I would ask of you this morning, it's this: don't overly simplify, what's being said here. And what do I mean by that? I don't want you to just simply take what's being said there when Zechariah talks about the fact that the Lord will come and has come and will come in the fullness of measure to be that who is the Savior of humanity and humankind. I want you to understand it in its fullest measure. Because you see, salvation is not just a ticket out of hell, as people might like to reduce it. Salvation is the restoration and the healing and the reconciliation when we come into a full measure of fellowship with God. You know, the old folk, if you ever had a cut or a bruise or anything like that, you know what folk would say? They say, put some salve on it. And if you remember that, I don't know, you all are too sophisticated. You're Brooklynites. You don't know what I'm talking about. But some folk would know, if you had something that was hurt, put some salve on it. You know, now we've gotten fancy, and whether it's Vicks VapoRub or whatever, it's all kind of, it comes from the same family tree, if you will. And the idea would be that putting that salve on something would do what? It would hasten the healing process and the restorative process. And sometimes, I don't know whether or not the salve would really necessarily do anything, but at least it felt good because you felt like something was unfolding. Well, that word salve is the same word that comes from the same root as the word salvation. And in that context, what I'm saying to you is that Christ is coming into the world to heal and to bring into restoration and reconciliation, that God is seeking to draw us once again unto God's self. That's good news. So Zechariah, in all of his enthusiasm, impending parenthood coming, is able to say that God is coming to reconcile us broken. God is coming to reconcile us wounded. God is coming to reconcile us distant once again to God's self. That's good news. And the blessing that God gives us is that we can point in hope in this Advent season to that reconciliation. But then we can point with clarity to the fact that that reconciling love has come to be when an infant baby is born into the world, grows up, lays claim to an earthly ministry, goes to a cross, and is yet raised again. So we're made whole. We're saved. We're healed because of God's promise being kept and God's saving presence in the world. And then Zechariah reminds us, yes, God is faithful to God's promises. Yes, God's way is salvation, but also the way he closes this passage, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Sometimes the most powerful and potent thing that God can bestow is simply that, a sense of peace, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that abides with us when the storms of life would rage around us, but a peace that makes it clear to us that there is a shelter in the time of storm. There are many things that we can talk about, and Scripture is replete with all of the dramatic and powerful things that are clear when it comes to God working in the world. But the thing I think that maybe I want to lay claim to right now is a peace, a shalom, a centering, an anchoring in the certain presence of God in my life. A peace that won't necessarily solve every problem at that moment. No, that's a theology of convenience that too many people think is at their beck and call. A peace that won't necessarily mean that there aren't still adversities that one has to navigate through. But a peace that lets us know that even when those things arise, we are not by ourselves. We are not abandoned. That's what Zechariah reminds us of in this good word. Those who are living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the path of peace. And maybe it's important in this Advent season, as we stand in expectation and awaiting God's presence in the world, as we'll celebrate it in its fullest measure on Christmas morning, maybe it's important to remember that even in those dark moments, you know, and I suppose, you know, there are some folk who might say that when it comes to preaching, that they'd prefer not to hear about the dark moments. They'd prefer not to hear about adversity. They'd prefer not to hear about difficulties. But the last time I checked, that's a certain and sure component of life. And if I don't have a faith that can help me to navigate through the darkness, through the valleys, through the difficulties, through the disappointments, through the hurts and the harm, then I don't have much of a faith to hold on to. So if I understand this faith to be what can lead me through those difficult moments, the hurtful moments, the disappointing moments, then I believe I'm talking about a faith that God intends for us to have because it represents God's presence in the world. You know, most people appreciate a good sunset. In fact, if you go to Key West, as I understand it, there's a particular beach that every evening a crowd gathers because it's looking due west across the Gulf of Mexico, and there are usually spectacular sunsets. And of course, upon the sun setting and all the radiance and all the magnificence, oftentimes as the sun is setting, people break out into applause because of the beauty of God's handiwork. And I wouldn't begrudge anyone that. I love a good sunset like the rest of us. But you know, by nature, I'm an early riser, real early riser. And something that I do sometimes is because we've got a pretty clear view of the eastern sky, I appreciate sometimes when I get up early enough, and in this time of the year, it's not so hard to do, but I appreciate sometimes when I get up and to anyone's observation, it's abject darkness outside. It's still night. But you know what I appreciate? I appreciate sometimes sitting in a chair by the window, and in the midst of that surrounding and pervasive darkness, being still, being quiet, being prayerful, and waiting. Because guess what? If I wait just a little while, the faintest glimmer of light begins to break through the dark. If I wait just a while, that faint glimmer reminds me that no matter how dark it may seem, God's faithful promise. Zechariah knew this. Mary knew this. God's faithful promise is that the light will break through. So let that be a self-application illustration. You may be in a moment right now that seems awfully dark. You may be in a moment that seems one where you can't do anything but simply grope in the darkness. And I can promise you, I can assure you, because God is faithful, wait a while and the light will break through. The radiance of God's promise, the radiance of God's presence. There's a good word, even in the dark, and that is that the light comes. The sun will rise, God will reign, peace will be restored, God's promises will be kept. Let the church say amen.